This episode is brought to you by Editor X. I've been hearing some really great things from the design community lately about Editor X, the advanced web creation platform. Designers are getting a euphoric feeling, don't misinterpret that, while working on a simple yet mighty visual design software with the capabilities and results of a powerful website builder. Whether you're a designer who loves to code or wouldn't touch JavaScript with a 10-foot lightsaber, Editor X is for you. Stay tuned to learn more about the powerful features of Editor X. In the meantime, of course, unless you're driving or doing the clean and jerk, please visit userdefenders.com/editorx and discover the new standard in web design.
If you have a heart of service and you're willing to be that empathetic person that is willing to put yourself in other people's shoes, to care about what they're going through, even though you can't understand their experience, maybe you can do this. There's a role for you. There's so many roles in user experience.
It's kind of like a pinch me moment every day where I get paid for this stuff. And it's awesome when you find that thing that you feel a connection with who you are as a person and also your professional life. It's pretty cool. I can't really explain it. It's like an eclipse, like the sun and the moon kind of meet at the same time. You feel like who you are internally as a person. And then you find this role that you feel like matches who you are, and it kind of just comes naturally to you. That feeling is out of this world.
Welcome to the User Defenders Podcast, where we interview UX superheroes who fight for the users in order to inspire and equip you to do the same. And now, here's your host, Jason Ogle.
Greetings, User Defenders. Welcome to episode 79. I'm your host, Jason Ogle. Here's a fun treat I've never done before. In this episode, I shine the spotlight on listeners Jordan Burke and Joel Ryerson, who recently landed their first job in UX. Hear them tell their inspiring stories of their journey getting here while gaining some valuable insights on how you can too. I was blown away at the depth, insight, authenticity, and value they both added with their motivational and entertaining stories of struggle and ultimately triumph. I'm going to kick things off with Jordan. A few of her takeaways are be authentic. I love how she dives into that. It's so inspiring. Step out and outgrow your comfort zone. Scratch your own itch. Don't be a victim. Take your destiny into your own hands and have a spirit of service. This work is all about service to other humans. Before we jump in, I want to take a quick sec to share a review that came through recently for the podcast. This was really great. This was from Rachel Wallace. Hey, Rachel. Rachel says, always inspirational, always motivational, always informative, always amazing, with an exclamation point. I think this could be my fave podcast ever. It's a wealth of knowledge and information, not just simple facts on UX, but a storytelling time with some of the gods of UX. Jason delves into opinions and topics that really matter, and it's always fun. Thank you. Well, thank you, Rachel. That is super inspiring. I'm honored that you took the time to share this and that you said so many kind things. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. Defenders listening, if you have a few moments to spare, would you leave a rating and review wherever you consume this podcast? That would mean a great deal to me and would definitely help the show. And who knows, I may be reading your review in the near future. So thanks so much in advance. And thank you, Defenders, for listening. I really appreciate it. I know there's a lot of options, but thanks for listening to this podcast and for coming back time and again. Some of you have been on this journey from day one, and that's going on 6 years now. Wow, incredible. So thank you so much. Please enjoy this awesome episode. All right, Defenders, today I have Jordan Burke with me, and Jordan is a new UXer, and that's one of the reasons that I wanted to have her on to really describe her journey and how she got here. And I know she has a lot to share. And so I'm excited to jump in. I just wanted to touch on how we met. We met on LinkedIn, and Jordan found the podcast, and you landed your first job recently in UX. Yay.
Yay.
And so, yes. So we're celebrating that. And I know the Defenders listening are really curious. They'd love to learn more about you, but also, and especially about how you got here, how you got your foot in the door. It's hard. And it's very draining in every way, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. It can be that way. So, Jordan, I want to pass it over to you. I want to let you introduce yourself and fill in the blanks to the Defenders listening before we jump in.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yes, we met on LinkedIn and I was in the middle of a year-long boot camp and it was an assignment. It was an assignment to reach out to someone in the field. And like I was telling you, I tried to self-sabotage myself because I was hoping that you would be so busy that you would not respond to my message. And you did. And you were super generous. And, you know, I was worried about things like, am I supposed to like buy him coffee or lunch or something? You know, like, I don't know how this works. And it was just an awesome conversation at that time. Obviously, like I said, I was in boot camp and it's been kind of a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind. I went from working mostly customer service jobs to now feeling like I have an actual career and making a difference. So I'm super excited to be here with you today, just because, like I said, it's definitely a full circle moment. I never expected that I'd be sitting here as a guest, you know, listening to the same podcast that I started with when I was first discovering what UX even was. Just, oh, user defenders, this sounds great. Like, I love this. So yeah, very, very happy to be here.
That's so cool. So UX, this is a really fascinating field. It's interesting. And I really believe, like, you ask 10 UXers what UX means, I think you may get 10 different answers, perhaps. And it's just a very complex field. There's a lot of different tiers and arms to this thing, right? I'm really curious, like, why UX and what excited you about this field enough to want to go all in and land your first job here?
Absolutely. So that's kind of a very simple response that could be a long story, but I'll make it short. I was working in customer service, like I said. I was a claims representative for a very large insurance company, and we had internal software programs we were using to process claims. And one of them was just so antiquated and old, and it looked ugly. It felt horrible to use. It was just like, I'm sitting at my desk and I'm thinking, who made this? Like, who made this and why? Why did they do this? And I'm just thinking, you know, I had a background in graphic design. I'm like, I could make this look better. I could make this feel better. I could make it actually do the things that we need it to do to process these claims. What is that? What's that job? Can I work here and do that instead? And so I spent my lunch break that day kind of researching and discovering what, you know, user experience was. Like you said, it's a very, very broad term that means so many different things to so many different people. And as my definition of that has changed and evolved, I think that's kind of what has helped me figure out what I like, what I don't like, and what I think the path to my niche is going to be. Because like you said, I'm very, very new. I'm very humbled in understanding and respecting the vets in this field, you know. So yeah, that's kind of how that started. I was trying to solve my own problem. I was trying to solve the problem of dealing with a program or a technology that I hated, that was, you know, for the internal user experience of that company, was really horrible for all of us. And yeah, I saw it as a way to maybe be able to apply my graphic design skills, which I was mostly using for like logos and flyers and like simple web design projects. I saw it as a way to be able to apply that to something that I felt would actually make a difference and to actually solve problems and improve processes and all these things I hadn't considered before. So I wasn't the girl that thought I would go into tech. My husband is a computer science major and he's getting ready to graduate. And he used to try to explain things to me, like what a GUI was and different programs he had created. He made like a little asteroid blaster game and he was trying to explain the science behind that to me. And it was like in one ear, out the other. So I definitely didn't think that tech could be for me. But when I discovered user experience and that I felt like it was accessible and there was a place for me in it, that just opened all the doors. So
yeah. That's so cool. I love that. You scratched your own itch. And there's a lot of, I mean, you know, you're looking at this software and you're like, this sucks. This really, I'm the user here. And that's Taylor's point. There's a lot of downplaying of you're not the user. You're not the user. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I know you're not always the user. Sometimes you are.
Yep.
Why not be the user? Even if you're not the user, why not try to? I mean, isn't this field a lot about empathy and putting yourself as best you can in your user's shoes? Try to use the software that they're using and try to use it from their perspective. Of course, do your research because ultimately they are the end user. But I feel like there's a lot of downplaying of designers not being users. And I just feel like that's the perfect example. You were using the software and you realize it could be so much better. And why not you? right? Yes. Why not you to help make this better? Maybe it's not that particular software, but now you're making software better for other people and maybe yourself too. So
yes.
I just really like that. I think that's really awesome. And your graphic design background, there's a lot of seemingly disparate fields that kind of cross over into UX, but there's also a lot of visual designers that kind of make that natural evolution into designing software. Because I mean, let's be honest, print is not as thriving of a medium as it once was. I mean, that's just the truth. Print is still important. We still need it. It's not as imperative because of all of the digital devices we're surrounded with. And it's certainly, exactly. There's a lot of, I won't get into a tangent about the earth and about resources and all that, but I just think it's really cool. I also came from a visual design background and yes. into software. So anyway, all that to say, I think that's a really cool origin story. And I love the story that your husband's more of a computer scientist. So you have like the form and function right there in one happy family.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's a beautiful marriage, you know, literally and figuratively. So I think that's amazing. How long had you been searching before you landed your first job?
So that was a very rapid process. And I went through a lot of kind of emotional changes during that. I graduated from my boot camp in January of this year. And I was hired officially in March. And so obviously that's not a very long period of time. I think that for me, I took advantage of the ISA format to learn UX. And it was very, very beneficial for me at the time as someone who didn't want to accumulate more student loans and just really wasn't in a position to do that. So having a school or an entity behind you that's incentivized to help you find a job right off the bat. I mean, that I feel like gave me an advantage because my school doesn't get paid unless I get paid. So they have that incentive to help me find a job. But I think for me, what made me kind of pull back from the process that a lot of other of my peers went through was that I felt like I was trying to conform myself to each job description and each job, like become whatever it is that they want in that moment so that you can just get a job. And I tried to do that a couple times and it was like, this is so against everything that feels right and good about number one, being in this field and who I am. I can't do it like this. You know, if that means that Microsoft or Google is going to be out for me, then, you know, it's like, I just have to accept that. And so it was all kind of serendipitous how I landed this role. I was on all of the job recruitment sites from the moment that I started boot camp. I signed up for those things at the same time. I wanted to be seeing what the job descriptions were requiring as I was learning so that if I needed to adjust what I was learning to find a role, then I would be able to do that and stay up to date. Because obviously we know kind of the 4-year model, by the time a lot of 4-year students graduate, some of the technologies they've learned are no longer relevant. So boot camp is a little bit more rapid paced, a little bit more up to date a lot of times. And yeah, I had all of those tools and resources pouring in with the job opportunities. And I found my job on ZipRecruiter. Literally almost missed the notification and went through the interview process, probably like a lot of other people, and ended up getting the role. And it was not typical of most tech interviews or just tech processes, I don't think. So because I'm working for a startup, first of all, so that's already a different kind of beast, just because you're dealing with people that are very new to bringing their idea to life, sometimes very new to technology. And that was clear based on going into the interview and then actually working in the role. So kind of I'm in a position where I get to define what user experience is for my company now. And that's not necessarily something that I expected to be doing in my very first role. But that's kind of why working for a startup is pretty cool, because I get to be that generalist and kind of flex all the muscles and wear all the hats, which I definitely am doing. So yeah, it was a very quick turnaround for me. And you know, I didn't go through a lot of the traditional things, like, you know, I didn't have like a whiteboarding interview or a technical interview. It was very straightforward as far as talking to the founders and the developer and meeting with them, interviewing with them, and they made their decision. So it was definitely for me. It was for me.
Yeah. I think that's really cool, especially for a startup, because generally, at least in my experience, it seems like a startup, they just want to hit the ground running. Like there's a lot of lofty goals and not a lot of time to accomplish those goals in. So I would say that generally a lot of startups, they just want to go with somebody who's got a lot of experience, who's been doing this, who can just hit the ground running and maybe even be thrown in the fire a little bit. So I just think it's really cool that this startup was like, yeah, we know you're new, but there's something about you that we think you can get in here and do this job. Like, I think that's pretty awesome. You want to speak to that a little bit more?
That's exactly how it went, you know, and preparing for the interview, I was very nervous. I was just definitely feeling the imposter syndrome, definitely feeling like, you know, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. Like you said, just thinking that all those other people that are so much more experienced than me, feeling like I was taking away something from someone else. And for me personally, I had to get to a point where I was able to drown those things out and kind of get back to, why did you come into this field? What does it mean to you to make a difference in this field and to work in this field? And what ultimately is going to make you feel successful and like you're contributing in a positive way? Are you creating things that are accessible and equitable and helpful and useful and enjoyable to use? And I was able to speak to those things in my interview. I was very nervous going into it, but it was probably the easiest interview I've ever had in my entire life. Apparently, the interviews were only supposed to run for a half an hour and mine ran like an hour and a half because they just wanted to keep talking.
Wow.
And we were just having great conversation. So like I said, it's a very unique experience that I don't think is going to be replicated many times for a lot of other people. What I can say would probably be replicated for other people is that I approached it with authenticity and just being who I am. I let them know, you know, like I'm a boot camp grad, like I just finished school. You know, I expressed, you know, this is my background. This is my background in graphic design. This is what I'm capable of doing. This is what I believe. My values aligned with the company's values, with the founder's values. Got along great with the developer. We felt like we would have a good collaborating relationship. And so those are the aspects that I think would definitely be repeated for other people. As far as finding this random awesome job on ZipRecruiter, I don't think everyone else is going to be able to do that.
There's some providence in there.
yeah, for sure. So definitely, I think that being authentic and being honest about where I was at, what I was capable of, but also being like scrappy and willing to dig in and do the work, you know, work to my benefit.
Ah, I love that. Defenders, I hope you are listening right there. If not, rewind it, hit the 15 second button 3 times, because what Jordan just shared about being authentic, about being who you really are in your interviews, we all have BS meters. Every one of us, we've been designed, we have BS meters. And I can tell you, being on the other side of the table, many times interviewing folks, I can honestly tell within like the first minute, I can honestly tell if this person is just being authentically themselves or if they're trying to be somebody else in order to try and impress, in order to try to gain favor. It's like there's so much right there to that point that I think is so valuable. And look, it wasn't about her skill set where she's was at in the moment because she's just getting started. This is her first job, but look at how that paid off for her. It was her being herself and it was her expressing her growth mindset. Being honest, right? Here's who I am. Take it or leave it. Here's what I know so far. And guess what? Here's my passion and my hunger and my desire to learn everything possible and do the best possible job that I can. Those are awesome attributes. I would have hired you right there too. I would have hired you on the spot because honestly, it's so much better to have somebody with those attributes coming into your interview. You can train skills. You can't train growth mindset. You can't train a great attitude. You can't train a humble spirit, but a confident spirit too.
Yeah.
You can't. And it's a wonderful balance. So I'm just so excited for you. I think this is so awesome.
Thank you so much. I work with a really supportive team. And one of my founders has said that. She was like, I didn't hire you because you knew everything. I hired you because I knew that you would do whatever you needed to do to get the job done and that you'd do it well and you do it with integrity and that you're not afraid to ask questions and, you know, and admit that you don't know things or that you need more time to figure it out. And so it's, like I said, it's a very, very, very unique situation. And I feel extremely, like you said, humbled and blessed that I was in the right place at the right time, doing the right things to find myself in a position to have that opportunity, because it was all the right pieces working together for me. And I think that that can work for other people as well. Like, you can design that experience for yourself. It's just about kind of the decisions that you make and, you know, how you put yourself out there, what you're willing to do. Are you willing to message Jason on LinkedIn and see if he'll respond and give you an hour of his time? Like, you know, I've found that there are so many people waiting for someone to ask them a question. Like, they want to help you. And we're all kind of just so scared, and we want to present ourselves as these know-it-alls that have all the answers, and we want to be the smartest person in the room, and we want to impress everyone. And it's just like, okay, how much time and energy am I going to spend pretending to be something that I'm not when I could be living fully in who I am and be enjoying my life? Like, you know, so.
Amen.
Definitely.
Yes. Woo. I love it. So yeah, I mean, I just love that takeaway, Defenders. I really want you to kind of really let that marinate. Be yourself. Right? I mean, it's like so cliche. Everyone else is taken, right? But it's like, honestly, just be yourself, because it takes so much energy and it's so tiring and it's so deflating to try to be somebody else and then to just not get the results you're looking for. Right?
Or be caught in the lie. Yes. That I feel like is the worst thing. You know, that's my worst fear, is to pretend that I know something and then somebody asks me about it and I'm like, well, you know, and it's
Let me try to remember what I told you.
Yeah. Why do that? And this field is changing, like you said, just because so many people define this as so many different things. It's changing so rapidly that you might as well just find your spot and make your own way, you know, make your own path. So
go all in. I love it. What were some of your biggest challenges along the way? Like, if you can name even just one or two of your major challenges that you still remember getting here.
Definitely top two, my health and feeling unqualified. So imposter syndrome. Mm. And I know that sounds like, you know, everybody says that, but like for me personally, I have lupus. And so it's very unpredictable, and it's not the kind of disease or disorder that lends itself well to working in a very structured, typical 9-to-5 environment, because, you know, if I have a lupus flare, I might be down for a week. Mm-hmm. And so the pandemic definitely opened up a lot of different opportunities for me to be able to participate in new ways, just because everybody went digital. So finishing school, going into that job search process and interviewing, like, it was easier because of having that option. It was also really unfortunate that we had to have a pandemic for these things to come about, you know, kind of these accessibility issues to come about and be brought to the light, that people who have disabilities have been, you know, kind of screaming about for years. But my health was an unpredictable factor. And then just feeling like, you know, do I belong here? And can I do this? Can I really make a career out of this? Is it going to be suited for me? Am I going to be able to support my family? So that financial security piece as well. Like, I want to do something I'm passionate about, but I have two children and I have a husband and I need to be able to contribute to her. Like, we need money to survive. It's just, you know, it's the nature of our capitalist society that whether you want to participate in that or not, you need it to survive. So I wanted to feel like I was actually earning my way and that I was qualified to do so. And then just trying to manage the different health things that would come up. I mean, at one point over the last year, they thought I had cancer. I was getting biopsies done. I was at one point doing a presentation from a hospital bed. It was like our capstone project. And my team we were all just super nervous. And I'm like, I have nurses coming in and out. And I'm just like, just one more slide. The presentation's almost done, you know, just one more, just wait a minute, you know? And, but I think you mentioned mindset before. And I think that that was the biggest shift for me. Shifting out of, for both the health issues and the imposter syndrome, trying to shift out of kind of a victim mindset. You know, I'm a Black woman from Baltimore. I have a family history that doesn't necessarily lend itself to predicting a successful career and life for me. And so it's something I had to choose. You know, I had to decide, like, this is what I want for myself. This is what I want for my family. And it's not to discount, you know, some of the systemic things that might be working against me, but a lot of that power is in my hands to decide, you know, how am I going to deal with the issues that I've been presented to solve the problems that I want to solve. And the problem that I was trying to solve was, I need a career that I'm passionate about, that's meaningful to me, that allows me to support my family. These are the issues I have. I have a chronic illness that I'm going to have forever. I feel unqualified a lot of times. How do I overcome those things? Like, what are you going to choose, Jordan? So yeah, I'd say those were the two biggest hurdles. And just like I said, changing my mindset was huge in deciding that whether somebody was going to help hand or give it to me or not, that I was going to go out there and get it. So
you're an inspiration, Jordan.
I don't feel like one, but thank you. I'm just surviving.
You're a fighter. And I love talking to folks like you, and that I'm inspired already. We're not even done yet. I was inspired about 5 minutes ago and you were talking about being yourself. This is so good. So you mentioned mindset, and as you know, I'm a huge advocate of growth mindset.
Yep.
And honestly, Defenders, I haven't mentioned it in a while, but if you haven't read Dr. Carol Dweck's mindset book, she really was the one that came up with this, putting a title on it, and did a ton of research around this subject. It's so good. That book literally changed my life. It changed my entire outlook. Yeah. So highly recommend that. I'll be sure to put a link in the show notes to that as well. But Jordan, I'm curious, along with mindset, what helped you along the way? Like, what are some other things that really helped you?
Gosh, man, my peers, like, you know, the people that I was in boots on the ground in class with, that we were trying to figure out. I mean, part of the reason I chose the boot camp I chose was because, unlike a lot of the other ones that were doing user experience, they also included the front end coding aspect. And I was like, oh, well, if I know how to code, then that'll put me light years ahead of everyone else. So let me go to this school. This is going to be great. And when I tell you, like, breezed through the UX portion, loved it. It was great. We got into JavaScript and HTML and CSS. Ooh. And I was like,
wow.
Oh my gosh. Like, you know, that we had a group chat where it was just like, are you guys alive today? Does everyone still have a computer? Like, have we not destroyed them? You know? And so relying on those people that, you know, I'm going through it with. And we didn't have, you know, this kind of crabs in a barrel mindset. Like, tech is huge. Mm. There's so many jobs that people can't fill because there's not enough people to fill them. We don't have to put each other down to get to where we're all collectively trying to go. It's not like there's this one job that we all are trying to vie for. So, you know, relying on each other and supporting one another in various ways. I mean, we supported one another mentally, financially sometimes, you know, and just in so many ways. So relying on those people, the staff at my school, people like you that are already working in this field and are willing to share. I had so many resources. Twitter, there were so many people I found on Twitter, like being exposed to what Black Tech Twitter was, you know, it was amazing to find myself in a community of people that, like I said before, it just wasn't a field that I thought I could go into. So to find out and be exposed that there's so many people like me that are already doing this, like, wow, you know, like we belong here. That felt great. That community, finding other communities on Slack, going to workshops. I have so many courses between like Udemy and Skillshare and listening to podcasts and things I found on LinkedIn and like edX and all these different places. I was consuming from every possible way and platform or medium that you could consume from. So those were the things that really helped me. But like I said, just kind of the people that I was working with on a daily basis, being there for them and allowing them to be there for me. I'm a loner, but you cannot do this alone. You know, and understanding that it helped me to change not just the way that I looked at what user experience was, but it helped me to just become a better designer, a better engineer, just because it's like you can't design human experience and exclude yourself from human experience. That is not how it works. You don't have anything to speak to if you're not participating in the world. And so as much as you want to remove yourself and be by yourself, you know, you need people, you know, you need others, you need other sources of knowledge, and you have to be open to communicating and sharing. So, yeah.
So good. There's several things in there. I like what you just said about you can't design for the human experience without fully immersing yourself in it. I love that. That is so profound. And that's one reason, Defenders, why I'm not as worried about robots taking our jobs.
That's the big thing, right? They're coming,
right?
They're coming.
They're coming for our jobs. They may do some of it. I mean, right now there's software where you can draw a wireframe and then take a picture of it, and it'll create a digital version of it. Like, there's software that does that right now. That's fine. But guess what? You still had to draw that. You still had to, and that still had to be based on research, human research. And so I think that's one of the things. Another thing I really like about this field is there's no substitute for humans doing this work, because who else, who better than another human who understands the human experience, who understands the challenges of being human, right? And, you know, you mentioned being Black too. I mean, there's a lot of inherent, I can't understand that, right? I can't understand that personally, but there's a lot of inherent challenges just along those lines. So, and I appreciate you speaking to that too.
Yeah. I mean, it's important because like I said, a big part of the reason why, you know, as a kid, I didn't say, oh, I want to grow up and be a user experience designer is because that wasn't necessarily something I was exposed to. You know, I was heavily involved in like the different programs for science and engineering and art in elementary and middle school and through grade school. But like, you know, I didn't have people coming to my school and doing demonstrations that kind of exposed us to things like, you know, virtual reality or programming and making basic programs or designing things digitally or whatever. You know, I came into graphic design kind of on my own and mostly initially kind of doing the print thing. But like you said, that's obsolete. So you have to evolve, you know, you have to be willing to grow and change and to look outside of what you thought maybe was possible for yourself. So I definitely have to speak to my identity and who I am, because I might have been here a lot quicker and maybe a different vehicle or a different path if I had some of the opportunities or had been exposed to technology in the way that other identity groups have throughout their lives. So that's also something that I definitely want to change. You know, I want more people like me to think, hey, I could do that, you know, especially more women. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, I want us to feel like that's accessible to me. I could be there, you know, that's super important. And I feel like makes all of this pointless if I don't make that part of my mission or my goal or my values as being a designer and engineer in this field.
Based on what you've seen, and I know this is really new still, but have you seen any improvements? Have you seen improvements in that area, though, of accessibility? And from your perspective, what do you see?
Definitely. I think that there are so many more people stepping up. I mean, even just the face of some of the conferences and workshops that I've gone to over this past 2 years, there are a lot more for, you know, underrepresented communities or cultures. Literally was just participating in trying to get into a fellowship that was specifically designed trying to find founders who are part of those underrepresented communities, like trying to put money into these people's hands for tech startups and ideas that, you know, anybody can have a great idea. It's just a matter of, you know, can you get exposed to the resources and the people or the technology that you need to bring it to life? So I think that there are a lot of people working in that area to make sure that those opportunities come to people who have historically not had those opportunities. And that to me is amazing. There's so many different things like Black Girls Who Code, and there's other programs trying to bring these things to, you know, children at an earlier age, just like I was just saying, wanting to be exposed maybe at an earlier time in my life. You know, my daughter's involved in some of these things like programming and coding and computers and tech and all of that kind of stuff is integrated into her curriculum. And I'm finding like that's happening a lot, you know, in a lot of different ways. So that is encouraging to me. And obviously there are still a lot of roadblocks and a lot of work to be done, but just having people that care about it and are making it their mission to say that I'm not just going to work in tech, but I'm going to work in tech and I'm going to bring technological opportunities and education to other people, you know, who maybe are not normally exposed to them because they belong here. We all do. So I definitely see that improvement and it's so encouraging. It makes me so excited and I want to be a part of it.
So cool. That's so inspiring. And I love that. I love that perspective. And I wanted to genuinely hear from your perspective of what you're seeing, because there is still a lot more work to be done, but I'm thankful for the work that has been done. And I'm thankful that there are folks on a mission to help make this more of a more normalized thing. And I think it's just really inspiring. And I love that our kids, our young people are getting exposed at a much earlier age across all different barriers. And I think it's really, really important.
It is.
Because you belong here. If this is something you want to do, Defender, you belong here, just like Jordan said. And the only true obstacle is yourself.
Yeah.
Really, at this point, because you can do, again, back to mindset, whatever you really genuinely want to do, you can do it. You can. It's not going to be easy. It's going to require some discipline, some hard work, and some pain. But it will pay off. The reward is there.
Yep. Exactly. Right? Exactly. Pain, especially when you're coding. Just.
Oh gosh. Yes.
Brain pain.
Yes. Oh my goodness. But thankfully, you have a live-in mentor.
I do. You know, and it's so funny. One of my friends commented about that, and I was like, I said, you know, we're kind of in competition now. Like, we want to see who can like learn more languages and do more stuff, you know? And so I told my husband, the thing that I used to say before I really knew anything about tech was I would do something by myself without his help on my computer. And I would say, oh my gosh, I'm so dev now. You know, I'm so dev. So that's like our little inside joke now. And whenever we do something and it's like simple error, restart your computer, you know, just little technology issues. We're like, wow, you're so dev now. Like, you know,
so. I like put that on a t-shirt.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to comment on one thing that you just shared is about you belong here. And this is an analogy. I know that Defenders, this is a fun fact. Jordan's a neighbor. She probably lives within like 5 miles of me. So I think that's really awesome too. So I just want to speak to the coffee analogy, because Starbucks, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, we've been kind of conditioned to think of Starbucks. We think of that naked mermaid, maybe not naked. Mm-hmm. It used to be naked, by the way, fun fact. In the 70s, they had to change that, but think of that, the siren. It's true. Google it. There's a bunch of defenders Googling right now. Show me the original Starbucks siren.
I mean, they go crazy about the cups now. They really have gone crazy about the cups back then. I mean,
it's true. But all I had to say, there's coffee that is so much better than Starbucks. You know, I will tell you that I used to work at Starbucks. I appreciate Starbucks for what they've done for coffee culture in America. But there's coffee that's so much better and fresher. But here's the thing, a new coffee shop, maybe a local or whatever, may be worried like, oh no, there's Starbucks like everywhere, right? And what are my chances of getting a customer base like that? You don't need the customer base Starbucks has. You just need 1,000 true fans, right? You just need a strong customer base that returns to you. My point is that there's room for you here.
Yep.
This isn't a contest. We need more designers. We need more diversity. We need more hungry, passionate designers like Jordan diving in, going, here I am, send me, how can I serve? How can I make a difference in this world using my skills and make life better for my users? And I love that a lot. And here's my point, Jordan, with the local reference. I love that Dutch Brothers is cropping up and they're strategically planting themselves right next to Starbucks.
Yes.
And there's one right near my church. And every time we drive by, I just get such a kick out of it. You look at you compare the drive-through lines of Starbucks and Dutch Bros. There is absolutely no comparison. Okay. So that's me getting a little competitive. Okay. That is me being competitive. But my point is, people are going to buy Starbucks and a lot more people are going to buy Dutch Brothers, at least in this town.
Yep. The lines will be wrapped around the little hut, you know, like literally like into the Starbucks parking lot.
It's true. I just get such a kick out of that. But I just, there's room for you here. My point is, and our point is, there's room for you here. If this is something you truly want to do, count the cost. This is part of the Land a Job in UX series that User Defenders that I'm doing on the show. So, but I am going to talk about this. I have a monologue part of this, and I'm going to talk to you about counting the cost of doing this too. I can sometimes maybe over-sensationalize this sometimes without showing the other side. I think it's important to be balanced here because honestly, this is hard work too. This is not easy work. It's fun, it's rewarding, but it's difficult. I will speak to the other side of this just to count the cost as well. But if you want to do this, if you consider the cost, you want to do this, you can do this. So that's my point.
Yep. I have to say, like, I 100% agree because, you know, there is kind of a darker underbelly. Like, you know, a lot of people, a lot of students that I started with didn't finish their boot camp. I know that I'm speaking from a place of privilege, even in who I am and my identity. I'm speaking from a place of privilege because I was able to sit down with my husband and say, I want to take a year off of working and go to school to study user experience design and engineering. Like, and my family collectively had to make the sacrifice. And it was 2020 was a hard year for everybody, but it was an especially difficult year for us in so many ways because of the fact that I was not working and that I was studying this and trying to make a career pivot, you know, in the midst of a lot of other different things. And like the Dutch Brothers reference, it's like, you know, if you're authentic and true to yourself, you have an audience. You know, you have, and if you have a spirit of service, because you said that too. And I think that some people come into this and it's not about service. It's about, well, what can I do to, for me and my, and I, you know, and it's like, I feel like no matter how many definitions of user experience or human computer interaction or customer experience or, you know, employee experience, there's so many now, but no matter which definition or who you're talking to, service is somewhere in there. We're serving people. We're serving different purposes. We're providing services or products. And so if you want to serve and you're truly coming at it from a place of wanting to serve, which means that you're listening to the people you're trying to service and provide for, and you're keeping them at the forefront and focusing on what they truly need and what they want, and sometimes anticipating things that they need or want that they don't realize they need or want because you have that insight. But, you know, ultimately coming back to that service, you know, and being humble about that, I feel like anybody can do this. If you have a heart of service and you're willing to be that empathetic person that is willing to put yourself in other people's shoes, to care about what they're going through, even though you can't understand their experience, maybe, you know, you can do this. There's a role for you. There's so many roles in user experience. Like, and that's why when we see these job descriptions that says, you know, we want a UX designer or a UX, you know, whatever they call it, and then you see what they're actually asking for, you're just like, okay, that's 7 different jobs right there, but I'm going to interview anyway, but that's 7 different jobs. I just want you to understand that. So, you know, definitely. I just had to jump in on there.
You really do have to. I mean, this is a metaphor. The superhero is a metaphor, but honestly, like when you hear what you just said, like they're looking for a superhero.
Yeah. For real. The unicorn myth is real. They really want unicorns. I mean, you look at these,
it's true.
And I mean, it's constantly on Twitter. Like, you know, we're constantly joking about it. Like, oh, you know, you want a junior developer role with 5 years of experience, but you need to know 25 antiquated languages and have 100 years of experience. And like, wait a minute, this doesn't even make any sense. So,
exactly.
So yeah.
Recruiters, can we stop that, please?
Please. Like, should be over a long time. Like, we're wasting so much time. There's talent and the exact person that you're looking for, you're missing them because you're convoluting what you actually want, what you actually need. So
yes. Less Disney fairy tales. And here's the thing too, going back to the authenticity, you expect recruiters, I'm speaking to you, you expect the people on the other side of the table you're interviewing to be authentic. You be authentic too.
Please.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the tweet.
Yeah, that's it. That's the tweet. I'm having so much fun. So again, as we start wrapping up, unfortunately, because I want to keep going, but it is a beautiful Saturday, and I did tell you 1 hour, and it's going over because I had some technical difficulties, and I thought it was Jordan's fault, and it was my fault.
And then I'm yelling at my husband.
She's getting on to her husband, which you please apologize to him before me on my behalf, because he looked a little worried. I saw him in the camera. He had a worried look on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my fault.
Not rescheduling this. Fix it now.
Oh, that's so fun.
As designers, we know we need constraints, but we also want... Like my manager says, get creative inside the box. Thankfully, EditorX gives you absolute design freedom. The workspace is so intuitive, plus they've combined CSS control with smooth drag and drop. You get developer level control in a designer's world, so there's total accuracy while crafting entirely responsive, killer layouts. Good design is good business. Another super impressive feature of EditorX is its integrated business solutions, including easy to use e-commerce tools, blogs, events, and booking systems. You'll feel like a superhero knowing whatever web magic you create will fulfill the needs of any top-tier brand. Finally, while I don't believe time is money, reduced time to market can certainly save you and your company a buttload of it. Take comfort knowing you'll be creating beautiful and powerful sites in no time, since EditorX streamlines the workflow and enhances collaboration. Ever innovating like good designers should, the folks behind EditorX are always making things better. They recently launched shareable design libraries, and I've got the inside scoop that there are more game-changing team features coming soon. I can keep talking about it, but you should really go see it for yourself. Visit userdefenders.com/editorx and discover the new standard in web design.
So Jordan, as we wrap here, but I'm wondering what are you loving most about your newfound career in UX?
Oh, man. Oh, that's a loaded question. There's so many things that I love about this. Number one, just like I said, feeling like I found a field that was accessible to me that plays to my strengths and I can live in my values, the things that are important to me in my everyday work. And I know that, you know, for a long time for me, I didn't feel that way. You know, I had a job because I needed a job and I needed a check and I didn't really care about what I was necessarily doing. I mean, I cared about my customers. But, you know, it wasn't like, wow, like this is the legacy I'm going to leave behind. You know, I'm really making a difference here. And I think that's the biggest thing for me. I feel like, especially in American culture, we are kind of programmed to think that we must work until we die and that we don't experience life, you know, and I've had a very interesting, somewhat difficult life and getting to a place where I can kind of have the culmination of all my life experience and bring that to what I do every day, who I am, and to get to authentically be me with the people that I work with. It's a dream. It's a dream. And my life changed so rapidly. Like, it feels like it was just yesterday that I was leaving. I was a counter manager for a really big cosmetics company. And I remember when I decided I was going to quit that job to go to school to do this. And I was terrified. And I had told my coworkers, I was like, you just wait. I want to come back in here and I'm going to have an amazing job. And you know, it was kind of like, okay, Jordan, you know, but I'm doing it. I'm living it. And I feel, I don't know. I feel so amazing and blessed and lucky and all of those things, just because it's like, I know that I put in a lot of hard work. But I also know that, you know, hard work meets preparation and that's where you find luck. So I've had a bit of that too. And yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, just getting to be my authentic self every day. That was huge for me. I don't have to straighten my hair or, you know, I don't have to not wear my graphic tees that are from fandoms that people don't care about. You know, I can do that at work every day and be my authentic self. And they love that about me. So yeah, I love that. And I want that for everybody. I think we should all, if we have to work, we should be able to work at something that we can be passionate about and that we can be of service to one another so that we can all enjoy living our lives, you know? So.
Wow. So good. So I just want to ask you, really my last question for you is, just along the lines of putting yourself in the defender's shoes.
Yes.
Because you were just there recently. Yes. Those, right? So this is, that's one of the reasons I was like, I got to talk to Jordan. I got to have her on, because you don't have the curse of knowledge yet. Like that's, yep, that's what we call the curse of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I know you've experienced this. I've experienced this, defenders. I'm sure you have too. When you're trying to learn something new and you're learning it from somebody who's been doing it for decades and they explain it to you like you should just know because they know. That's not how it is. That's why you don't have that curse of knowledge yet. And again, look at how much value you've delivered already. And so I genuinely want to know, and I know the defenders do too, if you have any words of encouragement, you know, in the midst, you know, there where you were, you know, months ago, just pounding the pavement, getting on ZipRecruiter, getting on all these other websites. And sometimes it feels like a spray and pray, you know?
Yep. Literally.
I'm just going to throw all these seeds out and just hope that one of them gets watered and one of them gets some sunshine, right?
Yep.
So what would you say to those defenders listening that are in a similar position that you were, again, just really trying really hard to break in and maybe feeling really discouraged, maybe feeling like they're not good enough, maybe feeling like they don't know who they are? Like, can you speak to those folks?
So definitely. And to your point of people explaining things in ways that are just far more advanced than they need to be, I'm a huge fan of The Office, and there's an episode where Michael Scott is like, explain it to me like I'm five, you know? And so that's kind of what I explain it like I'm five. Okay. And if you can explain it like you're five, then anybody can understand it. But I get it. I get it completely. I mean, I came to this from a place working, doing jobs that had absolutely nothing to do with this. So I would say, number one, you need to decide what you want, and you need to decide what you want or what your goal is in tech or in UX or whatever it is that you're trying to get into in this field, in this space. You need to define that for yourself before you go out and try to listen to what everybody else is telling you you think you should be doing. If you don't know what you actually want, you can be swayed into so many different directions. And again, this field is so broad that you'll find yourself just kind of on this spiral of trying to learn every new thing that you possibly can. So be clear about what your goal is, and don't make money and financial success or reward your source in this. Again, this goes back to service. So I think that those things are a benefit. Those things are going to come regardless. Be clear about what you want. Stay focused on that. Be authentic in who you are. And I feel like it doesn't matter if you filled out 50 job applications or five, that opportunity that is uniquely for you, it's not for anyone else. And I don't mean to try to like get spiritual, but like I've been telling so many of my friends this lately that, and I'm seeing it happen for them. It's like, you know, they're trying. Those same peers that I was talking about being in class with, you know, I may have gotten a job sooner or later than they have, but seeing them come into their opportunities. And the thing that they say is, you know, I had to go through everything that I went through to get to this opportunity that was specifically for me. And it's because they were authentic in who they were. They were clear about what they wanted. They didn't let that be swayed by the shiny new thing syndrome, and just being clear on the fact that I want this and I'm not going to let anybody stop me from getting it. That goes back into that whole mindset thing. And we know Jason's big old mindset, and it sounds so cliche. I hate it, but like, it really is. Like, you have to change how you think about getting these opportunities or being in this space, because if you don't believe that you belong here, if you don't believe you're capable of it, if you're constantly kind of like, oh, well, I'll go do this, or they said I should study this, or I'll do this, or I'll do that, then you're never going to get anywhere. And it's really going to feel like you're on that hamster wheel. So, you know, when I decided I'm going to stop listening to everybody else, define and get clear about why I'm here and what I'm setting out to do, the values and the culture of a company that I'm looking for, that's when my opportunity came, and it was just for me. So please, 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 please don't give up. I was literally listening to this podcast like, I don't know what these people are talking about. And that was a year and a half ago. You know, I had no concept. I was so new. And now it's just like, obviously, I'm telling everybody that I know to listen to it. But I mean, I understand and I can engage in the conversation now. And I didn't, because I didn't give up. So please don't. Please don't. It's so hard. And it feels like application after application after application, or, you know, interview after interview after interview. I'm not finding it. I'm not. What's wrong with me? You know, that there's nothing wrong with you. you know, you just have not synced up with that unique opportunity that is specifically for you, that role that is for you, that is out there. So yeah, please, please don't give up. Please don't give up. Please don't give up. Believe in yourself. Stay true and focused on what it is that you want and what you're setting out to do.
Ah, so inspiring. Jordan, you're amazing. You are an inspiration. I want to know, because I'm sure the defenders want to connect and keep up with you. So could you, whatever channel or whatever means that they can follow your journey, I would love it if you could share that with us.
Sure, sure. So it's funny, in the last episode, you were talking about trying to quit social media. And that was something that I have actively been trying to do, just because, you know, you discussed in that episode about the level of focus you're able to achieve when you do that. But I also think it's a tool that can be used very valuably. Right now, you can find me on Twitter, and that's at Please Send Vector. That's for my graphic design days. And that's spelled PLZSND as in David Vector. And then I'm also on LinkedIn at Jordan Burke. And those are the best ways to reach me right now. I'm working on a personal blog site / portfolio. This is a place to kind of share what I'm doing, you know, things I'm interested in, resources that I've found on design and different people. But those are the two places you can find me right now. Trying to limit myself from every other social media platform just because for my own anxiety and mental health, it's a good thing to back up off of that. But yeah.
Good on you. I'm with you. It's a tug of war.
It
can be such a time suck, but it also can be such a tool, a great tool. So I'm really on the fence. I'm on the fence on
it's
but
so hard. You
know, it is. But I think that's great. So I'll be sure to link that in the show notes, defenders, as well. So you don't have to remember that, but I appreciate Jordan mentioning that. And I know you're going to want to connect, and I know you're going to want to keep up, because she's on the rise. And just keep an eye out. That's all I'm saying. Keep an eye out.
I appreciate Jordan, thank you so much.
Likewise. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your journey, your story. There's so much more to you. I feel like we should do another kind of origin story sometime. I really do. Like there's a lot of depth to you there. And so, we'll keep that on the back burner, so to speak. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely, neighbor. And let's, hey, we got In-N-Out Burger. Yay.
I know, right? Oh my gosh.
The defenders are like, I don't care about that. Why are you talking about? Well, it's a connection I have with Jordan. Yes. We're neighbors.
Important to us.
That's important stuff. Come on.
In-N-Out and Dutch Brothers.
Yes. For the win. All right, Jordan. Well, thanks again so much, my friend. And honestly, like, this has been so rich, so deep, so inspiring. Thank you again. Let's stay in touch. And last but not least, as always, fight on, my friend.
I love it when he says that.
That was great, right? Jordan is an inspiration, and I'm so glad that we connected, and I'm super excited to continue to watch her newfound UX career just blow up. Next up is Joel Ryerson. Joel is a good friend, and he recently landed his first job in UX as well. Here's a few takeaways from our conversation. Be a goldfish. If you have seen Ted Lasso, you know what he's talking about, so you got to stay tuned for that. Find community. That is so important, that takeaway. And by the way, there is a community for user defenders. It's a little quiet right now, but maybe you are the one to come in and liven things up a little bit. Go to community.userdefenders.com if you want to check that out. But along those lines, he encourages us to be open-minded, to try to connect with and learn from as many people as possible. And also, finally, the satisfaction of finding your calling in design. I really love Joel's heart. He's just so purposeful and empathic and just really loves learning more about the human experience. So this is definitely a perfect fit for Joel, and you will discover why as you continue on listening to this inspiring and insightful conversation. Please enjoy. Hey, defenders. Today I have Joel Ryerson with me, and Joel is a listener of the show. He's a supporter of the show. He's a friend of mine. We've gotten to know each other really well over the past year and a half. Joel has been on a journey to land his first job in UX. And that's really a big part of why we're having this discussion today, is I really believe that
Joel's story is going to help you, defenders listening, that you're in a similar situation as Joel was. He just landed his first job in UX not long ago, and he's got a lot to share. He's got a lot of value to add and a lot of inspiration. Joel's a passionate guy. I love that about him. He's full of empathy, and I also love that about him too. So I'm just going to go ahead and let Joel introduce himself, because I kind of went dead away with the formalities because we are friends. I didn't ask him for a bio or anything. So I'm just going to let Joel introduce himself to you and tell you a little bit about him. Like, Joel, take it away, my friend, and welcome officially to User Defenders Podcast. I'm super excited to have you on the show today.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much. Thanks for the glowing introduction.
Absolutely, my friend. It's easy.
Yeah. So yeah, you pretty much covered everything. I've been doing this career search for quite a while now, and finally, a couple years ago, decided I wanted to pursue design, and it's been kind of a whirlwind since then. And I'm really excited to kind of share my story and share what worked for me, what didn't work for me, and hopefully inspire other people to find their roles and their purpose in their day-to-day design jobs.
Awesome. That's cool. So you mentioned that you started this journey, a year or 2 years ago. Your interest in design really materialized for you. And I'm curious, why? What is it about UX that kind of excited you enough to just go all in and get to that place where you're like, that's it. There's no turning back. I'm going to get my first job. I'm going to get my foot in the door. So I really want to know, like, what is it about UX and design in general?
Yeah. So it all kind of started right around when I graduated college. Growing up all my life, I never really had a direction and knew exactly what I wanted to do. I picked, my major was in communication studies, so super generic, and I was just trying to get a degree, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. The more I started to explore design, the more I fell in love with it, and the more I wanted to keep learning and growing. And it was kind of this really, really exciting thing, because I felt like I finally found something that resonated with me, you know, as a person internally, and I wasn't really happy with where I was in my career, work life. When I found design and I kept exploring a little bit further, I realized it was kind of the perfect blend of problem solving, creativity, empathy, and it's just like they all kind of met in this perfect balance with each other. And that's kind of what I was searching for. And it's awesome because you get to kind of use both sides of your brain. It's like the emotional, empathetic part, and also the creative, artistic side, but also the problem solving, analytical side. It's so multifaceted, and it's just exciting because it's constantly changing, it's constantly growing. And I have a growth mindset. Like, I just want to like continue to adapt and grow and learn and understand what makes people do the things they do in design. And not even just design, like design can be applied to pretty much everything in life. And it's really just about understanding people and understanding how we can solve those problems, even outside of like an app. Can be really pretty much anything in the world. I feel like I figured out life. I guess I feel like I figured out the blueprint for how do we connect better? How do we understand each other better? How can we treat each other more with kindness and respect and equality, just no judgment, and everyone sharing their knowledge with each other? And I don't know, it's just really exciting to be a part of like a community that is so willing to share and excited to get feedback and take feedback maybe they don't want to hear, but also apply it in a positive way. Just overall, it's just like a really positive industry.
That's awesome, man. I love that. That's inspiring. No time in history have we been able to connect with one another, to share information and knowledge and inspiration with one another and make people's lives better than in this age with technology, with the internet, with all of the knowledge we've gained as humans to help each other. And it's incredible. It's incredibly humbling, and sometimes it can be incredibly overwhelming.
Yeah.
But I think that's both the intimidation and the exhilaration of this work. So we were talking about how I think it's 2 years or so in the making, you getting your foot in the door. Is that about right?
Yeah. So when I decided, I kind of toyed around with wanting to switch careers, and I went through those life changes and just kind of tried to stay afloat for a couple of years. And it was still in the back of my mind. And then when I kind of got a little more comfortable with where I was, I just decided like, F it, I'm just going to go all in. I'm tired of being in sales. It's stressful. Like, you wake up every day being stressed out about hitting your quota, and then it resets every single month. It's like, you're never comfortable, and it's okay to be uncomfortable it helps to motivate, but not in a way to where you're just dreading and you have this sick feeling in your stomach to where you start happy in your role. When I decided to go all in, I just searched everywhere I could to try to get as much knowledge as I could in design. And I looked for all the books I could, all the resources on the internet, podcasts, pretty much everything. And I stumbled upon your podcast early on. And that was a huge part of my education because you had so many awesome episodes with so many useful resources and different opinions and different ideas about design.
A lot of the defenders listening,
yes,
they're in a similar situation. I can almost feel your heart, defender, listening, that you've been pounding the pavement. You've been submitting resume after resume and getting quote unquote rejections, which I like to reframe as redirections, over and over again. It is deflating. I know. I was there not long ago after having been employed for 7 years. I was there at the beginning of 2020 before the world started to implode. And it was hard. It's emotionally exhaustive to keep getting told no. Oftentimes, you never get to hear why. You never get to hear. And if you ask, it's rare, maybe one out of four times, somebody on the other side, a recruiter, headhunter, whatever, they'll actually take the time to tell you why. Because defenders, I know you have a growth mindset like Joel does. I know that's why you listen to the show. You want to grow, you want to get better. And so, of course, asking, may I ask why? May I ask what it is, why you passed, so that I can learn from this? I will every time. I will ask that question. And again, and I know one out of maybe every four times you'll get in. I know there's some legal, maybe some legal reasons why they may not tell you, offer that information on the outset, but man, it helps. So recruiters, if you're listening, if you are at liberty to share that information with those hopefuls on the other side, please tell them. And you may not want to offer that on the outset. You may want to wait until they ask, but if they ask, please tell them why, so they can learn and grow from it.
I would say, well, having that growth mindset, and I kind of explain it as like a hunger for just wanting to learn more and not feeling like you ever know everything. And always kind of feeling like there's something else that I need to learn, either, you know, about myself or about my role, or I try to take any experience in my life and try to learn from it, even if it's a negative experience. And starting out, I just tried to ingest as much content as I could from all different media sources. It's having that hunger to continue learning. And I don't know how to explain it. The passion just kind of drove me. And so it was just kind of this natural motivation and drive. And then as you continue to grow and learn, it just kind of snowballs into, you know, even bigger hunger and excitement and curiosity for what else is out there.
Yeah. Did you get a lot of rejections along the way? Quote unquote, again.
Definitely got a lot of rejection from doing interviews and applying for jobs. And it can definitely, if you let it, when you face rejection, either when you're applying for a job or during an interview, it can definitely hurt, but you have to kind of pivot and have a mindset of learning from it. And what can I do to be better? And kind of like you said, like asking why, if you have the opportunity, but also maybe asking why internally about yourself. And maybe there's nothing, maybe you didn't do anything wrong. Maybe they found someone with more experience, or maybe it's not about you at all. And just the excitement is there's other opportunities out there. And there's not just that one job. It's like, if that one doesn't work out, then it wasn't meant to be. And you know, there's other stuff that you can find out there. And I just got to be proactive and continue to kind of push to find that role. Have you watched Ted Lasso?
I have not. Oh, but that guy's pretty really, funny.
It's really good. You should actually watch it, because it's like, yeah, it's really, really inspiring and very uplifting, positive show. Huh. And yeah, it's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of certain aspects of design about, he just understands people and understands how to manage people and treat everyone kind of as individuals and to really understand what makes them tick and what motivates them. He's a college football coach who gets hired as a football European soccer coach in London. And yeah, it's a funny premise, but one of the players messes up in practice. He's really hard on himself. And then Ted comes up to him, he says,
"You know what the happiest animal on earth is? It's a goldfish. You know why?
No.
Got a 10-second memory. Be a goldfish, Sam." Yeah.
That was inspiring. It's like, if you face adversity, if you face rejection, be a goldfish. Just forget about it, learn from it, and then move on, and then try to find the next thing. So,
I like that.
Yeah, I'm going to be a goldfish.
I like that, man. So, that's good advice. So I know, Joel, I know you were talking about some of the things that helped you along the way were just having that growth mindset, really a hunger to learn, buying books, listening to podcasts, the User Defenders being one. And I'm grateful for that to know that the show helped you. Is there anything else that really, really helped you along the way?
Yeah, I think just being open to connecting with as many people as possible.
Community.
Yeah, it kind of goes along with the hunger. It's just try to connect with as many people as possible, learn from them. You know, even if it's not something you don't really resonate with, try to find a common connection and see what makes them successful. I always try to learn from anyone that I meet and basically not say no to like an opportunity to connect with someone and just kind of see what happens. It's with no expectation, just authentically, you know, just connect with people and see where it goes. And you're bound to learn something new.
Connect with others within the field you're looking to land in, right? And just try to form those relationships and be willing to ask for help. Don't be too proud to ask for help, because especially in this field, like you said earlier, Joel, I have met some of the most kind, humble, passionate, smart people I've ever known in my life.
Yeah.
In this field, because of design, because of UX, because the very nature of this work is service. That is at the heart of this work. We are serving others and often laying ourselves down in the midst of making others better and helping others get better. That's why the superhero metaphor works so well, I think, with this show, because that's what superheroes do every single day.
Hey, Defenders, this is Andy Vitale. Just like you, every day I'm out there fighting for the users. You're listening to the User Defenders podcast with Jason Ogle.
Yeah, it really is. And yeah, having, I would say being humble, not ever thinking you have everything figured out and doing your best to build that empathy muscle. I think you said in your most recent episode about empathy is not agreeing. You know, you don't have to agree with them, but you can understand, you know, where they're coming from and be in their shoes. And I think a lot of people forget that. I think people think you have to agree with them. You have to feel exactly what they're feeling, but kind of getting that mindset consistently and trying to get inspiration from everything in the world. Your podcast was like seriously kind of the main source of my education. It helped me branch out to learn about all these designers that you interviewed, but also they talk about all of the books that they've read. So every time you or the person you're interviewing is mentioned a book, I would write down the list. So I have a giant list of all the books, and I just, every time I just buy the book and now I have a huge stack of books I still need to read, but I'm going to get there. I'll get there eventually. But honestly, though, it's kind of like sports. Yeah, I call them coaching trees. Like Bill Walsh back in the 80s, he has like a crazy coaching tree because all of his assistant coaches ended up becoming head coaches. And because they learned probably from what made him successful. And it's kind of the same way. Like your podcast like helped me branch out to understand the bigger world of design. And you know, it's kind of just still having that mindset of how can we understand more and more? How can we get bigger and bigger and branch out? And yeah, your podcast was a huge influence on that. So like authentically is honestly, that was, it's pretty awesome. So yeah.
That means a lot, Joel. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sincerely.
Yeah. I think one of the things that made your podcast so inspirational and exciting for me when I was learning from the beginning is the energy like your episodes and your podcast is very welcoming. It's not intimidating for someone who's just learning. It's coming in kind of humbly and like a servant. And it's not scary. You start to think like, oh, I can do this. This is cool. Just because of your mentality and how you talk about it. It's not, I'm the best and I'm going to show you how this is done. And it's more so like, we don't know everything. Like I'm not going to know everything. And you're no different than me. I'm not anything special. It's just that I love this and I love connecting with people and empathy and being authentic. And that kind of just drives you. And so when you're starting out to a career change, it can be scary and you're pretty sensitive at that point. Or you can be kind of flimsy if someone intimidates you and then you have a bad experience with someone. But with your podcast, it was the exact opposite and it kind of gave me hope that I can actually do this thing. So yeah.
I love it. Thanks, man. When you got that call or that email, right? Hey, we want to bring you on. Right. What was that like getting that response? What did that feel like?
It was kind of mind blowing. It felt like the first time in my life I had got to somewhere where I actually wanted to be. And I went for it and I achieved it. It was kind of this moment of I just stopped and kind of reflected and like, okay, cool. This is what it feels like. This is awesome. And then my mind was like, well, you're not done here. So it's like, this is just the beginning.
True designer right there.
Yeah. It's it never
What's
stops.
Next?
Yeah. Yeah. But in a way where you're grateful for the current moment, but you're constantly thinking about, I'm not going to settle here. I'm not going to just assume that I've made it or wherever you are. So yeah.
Did you go and celebrate somehow? Did you take a moment? Like even with that, I love that you're like, okay, this is great. And you're excited. Maybe you shed a tear, maybe get a little dusty in the room.
Yeah.
As I always say, and that'd be entirely understandable. I think I cried the first time I got my foot in the door in 1999, believe it or not, a long time ago. So did you do anything to celebrate that win?
Yeah, I can't remember. It was
Disneyland
December
or something.
Oh, I wish. It was December this past year, so I couldn't really do much because of the pandemic.
Couldn't go outdoors yet, really.
No. So I think it was like, we probably got like DoorDash or something. The only thing we could do, everything's closed, can't go outside. So
got some kind
of exciting food.
good. And that's good, man. And you defenders, that's a good lesson there. I want to draw out from what we were just talking about. I know we're all definitely, we have that achiever mindset, and that's awesome. Keep that, keep going, keep trying to get better, keep trying to better those around you, but please, and this is me talking to myself too, take enough time to just sit in that win and celebrate it. Even the little ones, especially the little wins. Don't let that pass by, because that goes into your story bank. We talked about in Shahina's episode, you log these stories. These are great stories. This is your defense response for imposter syndrome when that ugly voice rears its head. So take the time to celebrate those wins. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You deserve a moment to celebrate, pat yourself on the back, and take that time to reflect on yourself for a second. If it feels uncomfortable to focus on yourself, but you're allowed to sometimes, and you can enjoy that moment.
Exactly. Yes. Couldn't agree more. So Joel, in your newfound career in UX, I'm really curious, what are you loving the most? And then what are you loving the least about it? I'm really curious about both.
Yeah. What am I loving the most? I mean, I pretty much love everything. It's pretty awesome that I get paid to do this now. I think that was the most exciting thing when I realized I got a job at first, and everything I studied for, I get to do the same exact thing, except get to do real work and get paid for it. And I think naturally the visual part of design comes pretty naturally for me, more the initial research and understanding the problem, and that takes a little more brain work. And that part is probably something I want to continue to try to hone. I get to be in Figma every single day and work on these design problems. It's kind of like a pinch me moment every day where I get paid for this stuff. And it's awesome when you find that thing that you feel a connection with who you are as a person and also your professional life. It's pretty cool. I can't really explain it other than it's just this kind of this calm contentment. And I feel like I found like an alignment. It's like when there's like an eclipse, like the sun and the moon kind of meet at the same time. You feel like you're who you are internally as a person, who you are innately. And then you find this role that you feel like matches who you are, and it kind of just comes naturally to you. That feeling is out of this world.
I love that metaphor, man. It's really poetic. That moved me a little bit.
Really? Yeah. Just came up with that.
That's really good, man.
Yeah. So that part's really exciting. What I least like, I don't know if there's anything that I least like. I'd say it can be challenging as a newer designer I'm trying to get more confident in articulating my design decisions when I'm presenting to stakeholders. And it can be challenging to kind of push back because you feel like you're new here and you don't really want to step on people's toes. You don't really know how the hierarchy works. And it can be uncomfortable to kind of have that professional conflict, I guess, kind of like your last episode.
Very fitting.
It's very important. Like that part takes more work to try to get used to, and it's going to take some time, years of practice and being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And you know, that part is definitely, I wouldn't say a dislike. It's just challenging.
Yeah.
But the challenge, it's exciting at the same time. because it's a challenge and something that you want to get better at and grow. And then I guess I will say, big picture wise, the thing I like least or would say is a little bit confusing as a newer designer is design, as we know today, is still a pretty young industry. And so there's constantly things changing. And I feel like to me, the most confusing thing is that the titles, there's not really like a consistent, what kind of designer are you? It just depends on which company you're at. And yeah. I think, again, it's confusing to know what you want. And a UX designer could mean 10 different roles at 10 different companies. It's just, you don't really know what kind of skill set that person has if they say they're a UX designer, unless you actually ask them specific questions and get to see their role. So I guess yeah. It's exciting also at the same time, because we have an opportunity to kind of form that and as the industry matures. So it's an exciting, also feel kind of lost sometimes. One does not always equal one.
The whole titles thing, that's a good point. I mean, it's true. I think because the field is so young still, at least the current form of it. I mean, when you look at UX in general, this stems back 40 years, really, as far as the digital, the computing side of things. If you go even further, you can go back really far in history and look at user experience as a concept. Mm-hmm. It's always existed. There's always been people trying to help other people have a better experience with whatever they're offering them. So you can get really, really micro with this if you want to. But the reality is software development in general, all right, even let's just say even with Agile, that's really more recent, I'd say, too. There's just a lot of evolution still happening here with this field. Yeah. I think it's good. I think we should always be trying to make things better. That's why we're designers. And, mm-hmm. and if we can make design better as designers, I think we should also be trying to do that as well. As in addition to building great software, we should also always be asking, how can we make design better? How can we design better, right? The field of it. So I think that's interesting. You asked 10 different UX designers what UX means. I promise you, you're going to get 10 different answers. Mm-hmm. Do a research study. And you'll find that that is a valid statement.
Yeah.
So Joel, this has been so great. I do have one last question for you. And I think this is one of my favorite questions for the listeners, because we're all, again, wanting to hear from folks who have gotten there, who have struggled to get there, and like yourself, and who broke in. I'm always interested in knowing about encouragements, and you, especially being a newer designer, just getting your first foot in the door, and knowing even more recently what that feels like. And again, being the empath you are, I am really curious what sort of advice and encouragements that you can offer our fellow defenders listening that are in a similar position as you, and they're just really trying to break in or trying really hard and maybe even losing hope, actually. What would you say to those listeners, those defenders?
I would say, as you're trying to find your first role, just understand that you are going to face rejection, and maybe ahead of time, think how you're going to deal with that and try to spin it in a positive way and try to learn from it. It's okay to be imperfect. And it's okay to mess up. That's part of the process. And continue to look for that angle that works for you. And treating your job search kind of like a design project. It's if one angle doesn't work, try another angle. And don't give up, because you're going to find that role at some point. And definitely rely on your network. And like that's how actually I found my first role. Was my manager, someone I went to high school with. And I posted my portfolio on LinkedIn, and he saw it and contacted me, and the rest is history. And you never know where that role is going to come from, where the opportunity is going to come from. So be open to, wherever that may come from, be receptive, don't say no to a potential opportunity. Just always try to connect and find common ground with people. And you never know where that may go, because really it's about connecting with people and it's about understanding people. That's the core of design. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Remember? I love it. That's great.
So like design, we have all this technology. Initially you think of all the tools and everything and the UI, and that's kind of like what people think design is. But really we all understand design is more about empathy and understanding people and problem solving. So the tools and all the technology is just kind of the way we are able to use that design expertise. Design can transcend different technologies and tools, and that's just our current tool set in 2021. Who knows what it's going to look like in 10 years? It may be something totally different. And like you were saying, way back in human history, it's just problem solving. It's how can we make a more pleasant experience, a more enjoyable experience, and really get to the core of you know, who we are as people.
You remind me of this quote. I just read this recently in Scott Berkin's new book, How Design Makes the World. It was a quote from Douglas Martin. And I don't know who that is, but I'm curious now, obviously a designer. He said, to your point about design, Joel, I really like this quote. Douglas Martin said, the question about whether design is necessary or affordable is beside the point. Design is inevitable. The alternative to good design is bad design, not no design at all. True, right?
Yeah.
Everything is design. Everything. I think that's Scott's point. I have a feeling that one of the reasons he wrote this book is because he wants us all to realize that design is everywhere. And we ought to always strive to make things better, always strive to appreciate design, the craft.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Appreciate the process and trust the process. Yes. And
yes,
yeah,
exactly. And the process, for sure, because design doesn't magically happen. It's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and it's a lot of time, and it's a lot of labor, and it's a labor of love.
Yeah. It takes a lot of mental energy to get to the point where you even understand the problem and understand who you're building that solution for. It's a lot of the not so glamorous stuff that is not on Dribbble and everything online that you see and all the fancy UI interactions and
a solution and search for a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of like you're watching a movie, like when you see all the amazing special effects and you don't really think about all the hard work that went into getting to that point, writing the story, doing all of the production and just how many people are involved when you see all the credits at the end and you're just kind of amazed that it's like millions of people who made that movie. It's kind of the same process as what's under the hood is what design is all about. That is true design. And the outside is just kind of the end result of it.
Yeah, I love that perspective. It's good stuff, man. So as we wrap here, Joel, I have a feeling that there may be some folks that want to reach out and maybe ask some questions or just connect with you. Like we were talking about networking, how important it is. And Defenders, I can't stress that enough. Dig the well before you're thirsty. Keep making connections, especially in this field. Keep connecting with folks, and you can ask designers questions, and we want to help. We'll let you know if we can't, but I think for the most part, we're always going to want to help you and always try to answer questions and try to do what we can. I mean, that's the spirit of this field, and that's why I love it so much. So if you're okay with it, would you be willing to tell us the best way to connect and to keep up with you, Joel?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can reach me on LinkedIn. You can reach me on the User Defenders community, Twitter, my portfolio, if you want to check that out. Yeah, should I give my contact information?
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. And Defenders, I'll have all of this linked up in the show notes as well. So, Joel, this has been awesome, brother. I appreciate you. This has been fun too and inspiring. So thanks for taking the time to really tell your story about how you got here, how you landed your first foot in the door and in this exciting, challenging and ever evolving field, as I always say. Man, this is good stuff. And there's some defenders listening that have gained inspiration and value and are going to use what you shared to get their first foot in the door. So thank you for that, brother. And last but not least, I just want to say, as always, fight on, my friend. Inspiring, right? Joel is a deep dude, and I really appreciate how tapped in to the human experience he is and how that's making him an even more powerful designer already. And he's just getting started. So I don't know about you, but I'm super inspired by Jordan and Joel's powerful and enlightening stories of how they landed their first job in UX. I hope you found some awesome inspiration and tools to help you in your important UX job search. I definitely know firsthand how draining it can be, so my empathy is with you. It's also super rewarding when you find that right fit and start going to work doing what you love. I just got off my monthly one-on-one with Joel, and toward the end of the call, he was expressing tremendous gratitude.
There's a U2 song that seems like almost everybody in the world has heard or is aware of. It's called I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. Joel was sharing with me just how awesome it is that he gets to do this now as a career. And contrary to U2, he finally found what he's looking for. My reply to Joel was, Joel, I've been doing this for over 20 years now, and I still feel that way every single day. It never wears off. To which he said, good, I'm glad to hear that. If you really want to do this, Defender, you can. As I discussed with Jordan, the only person stopping you is you. And I'll also tell you to count the costs. This work, although rewarding and pretty dang awesome, can be arduous and incredibly challenging. I'll talk more about that in the next episode next month. I came to a realization recently, maybe even in my conversation with Jordan, that I can tend to over-glamorize this work and rarely ever share any of the rough side of it. And I kind of had this visual as I was thinking about this. There's two sides to every coin, and UX has a smooth side and a rough side, and it's a package deal. You get both sides. So anyway, definitely stay tuned. I'm going to wrap up the season before my holiday break with a final monologue episode all about everything I've learned so far about landing a job in UX. It's going to be great, Defender, and fit right in along with this episode into my Land a Job in UX series. And speaking of which, if you hadn't caught wind of that yet, definitely check it out at userdefenders.com/UX job. It's super inspiring and it will give you some great resources and tools to help you land your first job and or next job in UX. Because like I say in the opening paragraph of that page, every single one of us is one conversation away from having to look for our next job in UX. So think about that. Tweet your takeaways, Defenders. I'm at User Defenders. Love to hear what you learned and what you're going to do with this information that you gleaned from these two awesome and inspiring interviews with fellow listeners who were in your shoes. If you're looking, they were in your shoes not long ago. My main hope for you is hope, that you come away from this episode feeling hopeful. If you've been feeling down in the dirt and just hard on yourself because it seems like you're getting rejection after rejection, you're taking it personally, it's hard not to. I just want you to really take heart and take hope. You can do this and just stay resilient. Fall 7, rise 8, right? As long as that rise number is one higher than the fall number, you're on the right track. Every one of us falls. Not every one of us gets back up. I want to take a second to do a quick Patreon thank you. Ellen Bibb. Thank you, Ellen, so much for becoming a patron recently of User Defenders. I just had a one-on-one with Ellen recently, actually just yesterday, and it was great. She's transitioning into UX after a thriving career as a graphics and visual design professional in the advertising space. So this is a natural evolution. I was able to coach her on how she ought to approach transitioning into UX. So that was really great. And speaking of one-on-ones, I would love to coach you if you would like to meet with me on a monthly basis. I can do a video call with you and help you out with whatever you're struggling with design, with... I've got a lot of kids, so I know a thing or two about parenting. It could be anything. Again, I always joke we could talk about really silly movies like Troll 2 or Gymkata, any of those things. But yeah. Definitely think about it and consider becoming a patron of the show. I'd love to get to know you more and, again, help mentor you along your important design journey. Check it out at userdefenders.com/Patreon. I want to thank Editor X for sponsoring this episode. Definitely check out their product. It's helping a lot of designers to get their portfolio online much quicker than doing what I did and trying to hand code your website. So definitely check it out at userdefenders.com/EditorX. And again, next month, I sort of teased this a little bit, but I'm going to wrap up the season before holiday vacation, continuing in the Land a Job in UX theme with my monologue, everything I know so far about landing a job in UX. So it's going to be really deep. I'm going to just share everything that I've learned to date, and I think you're going to be really inspired and you're going to gain some really great insight into this important job search that you have right now. Whew, that took a lot of breath. Okay, So anyway, on that note, since I'm about done here finally, I want to thank you again so much for listening, Defender. Thank you for being along this journey. I'm always blesses me and continues to fuel me when I hear how much the show is making a difference for you in your life and in your design career. So definitely, anytime you want to share a love bomb with me, I'm always open to it. You can find me on Twitter or LinkedIn. I've actually been getting a lot more engagement on LinkedIn lately. Twitter seems to be sort of dying. I don't know what it is, but Twitter is kind of dead lately for me. But either one, User Defenders on Twitter, and you can find me at Jason Ogle on LinkedIn. So love to catch up with you, connect with you. Okay, that's all I got. Badia, badia, that's all, folks. It's late. I'm trying to squeeze this out a couple days before release here, so I'm a little delirious. But anyway, I forgot to mention this, but definitely subscribe if you haven't already at userdefenders.com/subscribe. The show's on Pandora now. It's on Audible. It's on Amazon. There's a lot of places you can catch the show. So anyway, thank you so much. I'm going to stop talking. I love you. And last but not least, I just want to say, as always, fight on, my friends.